Nina? Oh, we have a lot. It looks like we have fewer people here today. I think I scared off a lot of people from last week's message. How many of you was that message a little scary? A little scary, right? Somebody I remember was talking with somebody and they said, oh, that was a good message, but it's a little scary. Yeah, it is. Sometimes when we receive warnings from the Lord, it's scary. It should be intended to be scary. That's the whole purpose, right? That's what a warning is. It's watch out for something. There's some kind of danger ahead, and that danger should be taken seriously. And so as we're looking for, as we're going through these studies in the end times, if you will, it really is a launch. The launching point for all of this has been our time going through the book of Luke. And we find ourselves in the book of Luke chapter 21 and examining Jesus' words and his warnings. And so I took us into an area in the book of Revelation that gives us one little glimpse of the kinds of things we need to be watchful for. And we find the words of Jesus in Luke, in the book of Luke, are so relevant to the kinds of warnings that have been given in the book of Revelation. Now, there is not only scary news, there's also wonderful news, and I hope to finish up the message here today with that word. Okay, so we want to receive this as the kind of message like somebody might say if you're young and you're adventurous and you want to go speeding around in the community in your car. They say, don't speed, because certain things can happen. Terrible things can happen. I remember one day, I was in high school, and received word from some of my friends about somebody who was in one of the classmates. This person had gone up a street, had flown with his cart up a hill, ran a stop sign, and hit one of our classmates on the other side of the street, pushed her into the yard. All the way into the yard. And that's the kind of thing that we're watching for. Warnings have a meaning. They're a reason for mourning. So if we get a little antsy here as we're sitting here and we're talking about signs of the times, there's a purpose for that. Lord willing, we will have finished our time here with a very encouraging and enthusiastic finish, okay? That's how the story ends. Doesn't it? Amen? Okay, so I want to begin our time with a quick review of what we did over the last several sermons about these end times ones. The approaching kingdom is really kind of like the advancing kingdom is the super title for this whole thing. So in Luke chapter 21, verses 5 through 28, and Revelation 13, 1 through 10, we get these warnings that tell us to make sure that we're fixing our eyes on Jesus. We're told to stand firm, make sure we're standing firm, and be prepared in your heart. So the vision here, the picture here was eyes, feet, and heart. Fix your eyes on Jesus, stand firm with your feet, and be prepared in your heart. We entered this idea that by Jesus telling us that this whole thing, watch out this, because it's going to be a worldwide kind of thing that's going to happen. So he's saying that this is not a local kind of dictator, authoritarian issue that's going on. It's going to be worldwide. Further in Luke, Jesus tells us to watch and pray. Watch, be watchful. Have our antenna up all the time. Out of Revelation, we heard that there's a trap. There's a kind of a trap, if you will, not just Revelation, but Luke chapter 21 as well. There's a trap. There's a snare. A snare. You know what a snare is, right? A trapper goes around and an animal is going, minding his own business, doing his own thing, and suddenly they get stuck in something and a trapper has trapped that animal. Satan's trap is gradual. It's deceptive. It uses counterfeit signs and miracles, and it uses coercion or force. It's going to be a dominating kind of thing upon us. And there are a number of other things. There's a holy, unholy trinity, as some Bible scholars has called this. The dragon that's referred to in Revelation 13, the first beast, which is the one who demands signs, he's going to be the one who demands worship. He's going to be the one who is going to look like he had a mortal wound, but this mortal wound was healed. And then the second beast, referring to the first beast, says, hey, worship that first beast. It's kind of like an imitation trinity, where God is the authority, God the Father is the authority, Jesus is the one who is worshiped. We worship Jesus, but instead of demanding worship, he calls on people to worship him. And then finally, the Holy Spirit, which calls people to worship Jesus. Okay, so the unholy trinity is a counterfeit trinity. And finally, the mark of the beast. Mark of the beast. How many for you does that kind of give you a little chill? Mark of the beast. We've heard this in biblical prophecy quite a bit. And really, the title of today's sermon, Signs of the Times, is really an unpacking, if you will, of the mark of the beast. How can we open our eyes to that? And don't worry, this will not be a replay at all of Pat Zukeran's sermons on seminars on signs of the times, which happened last fall. So the purpose today is to help us to see what other generations could not see. And hopefully our eyes will be open and we'll be more prepared and ready. Okay, let's go to him in prayer now. Father, as our Lord Jesus has said, pray. As we watch, Lord, we pray that you would give us deliverance, that you'd help us to find the way to escape the snare and the trap of the devil. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as we take a look at the mark of the beast, mark of the beast is the number 666. Okay, technically it's the number 666. So it's not just six, not just three digits, six and six and six. It's 600, three score, which is 60, and number six. Okay, so we're told by John in this Revelation 13, if anyone has wisdom, let him calculate the mark of the beast. And so people throughout time have been trying to calculate this number. And many ideas have come out of what this means. In the end, it's all about the worship of man. Worship of man. Why? Because it's man's number. And if we're called to worship this beast, the number of this beast is 666, and it is man's number, we're worshiping man. We're worshiping ourselves. Really, that's what it is in the end. Even if we don't know, figure out exactly who this person is or what this person is, in the end, it's about self-worship. It could be atheism. It could be humanism, scientific naturalism. It could be Darwinian evolution. It could be any number of different things. Lots of speculation about this, but in the end, it's all about man. Okay, can you say that with me? 666 is all about man. All about man. Okay, so really, the number 666 denies God. It says God is not important, and what's really important is us. With a big smile, hey, let's just have a big party, and it's all about us, okay? So the signs of the times are going to be signs that are going to be very subtle, and they're going to be gradual. If they were not subtle and gradual, you would see the trap. But because they're subtle and gradual, we won't be able to see the trap. So let me give you an idea of some of the things that I saw over the decades. A couple of things that really were really creepy to me back in the 80s, and a lot of talk about end times back in the 80s, and for a number of reasons. I won't give you all those reasons today, but I'll tell you these are some of the things that used to be creepy to me. So 1980s, they were talking about this microchip technology. And a microchip was alive and well in the world, and it's the thing of the future. You could put that in your forehead and on your right arm, and they could identify a person that way. You can have a lot of information on this little microchip. And we never really did it in humans, although I heard of some possible experimentation. But it is widespread in pets, isn't it? How many of you have pets that have microchips in them? Yeah, you got microchips in them. It's already being done. And so today, microchips are no big deal. I once went to a pastor's house, and he said, why don't you check out this program? It's called Google Earth. You ever heard of Google Earth? And he said, and I installed it on my computer, And I thought, wow, this is amazing. And they have all these satellite pictures of all kinds of places in the world. And I thought, just for fun, I'm going to type in my address. I typed in my address. Boom. There was my house. There was my car. And if your dog's in the yard, there's your dog in the yard. And it was scary. It went from cool to creepy. But now we see this all the time. We see the satellite pictures all the time. When we're trying to find someplace on a map, we bring up our maps, and it brings up a picture sometimes. And now it's no big deal. Can you say that with me? No big deal. The idea of a cashless society began to emerge around that time. And I thought, are you kidding me? Cashless society. And then one time the whole idea of this was, if you want to control the world, you cannot take out money. You have to remove the possibility of taking out money and giving it to somebody. Why? Because this big beast thing does not have control of your being able to do this. If you want to control what people buy and sell, you have to go cashless. Everything has to be done through this system. And so cashless society, and I didn't really think much about it. I thought it's way, way off. And not too long later, I heard on the airplane, today, we are no longer receiving money for your snacks and for your lunch. Everything will be done by credit card or debit card. I thought, whoa, that's creepy. But now, after years and years of this happened, it's no longer creepy. It's no big deal. Can you say that with me? No big deal. You see this creep going on? We're just getting used to this happening in our lives. But there are a lot of benefits to this, right? A lot of benefits to having this chip, microchip, is that nobody can steal your identity. Identity theft. How many of you know somebody who has experienced identity theft? Oh, yeah. Oh, lots of you. I remember one person who said they were going through this identity theft, and they said it was like hell on earth. It was horrible. They just couldn't believe what they were going through. So identity theft, you know what solves that? A microchip. Woohoo! That's the answer. Okay. And if you get a microchip, no big deal. And now things are so convenient. We can make purchases over the internet. We can buy our gas, our books, our clothes, food, ride sharing, all done over the internet. No big deal. Can you say that with me? No big deal. Okay, you guys know where I'm going with this, right? Things that used to be creepy are no big deal today. Last week I talked about the frog in the kettle. That water is heating up more and more and more. Today, I want to go over a few eye-opening things that are creepy. They're creepy today. The danger is that we'll get to a day when it's going to be no big deal. First of all, there's something big, something really, really big. And if you were to Google, what are the big things on the internet, you'll find this... this thing about five tech giants: Google, Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, and there are a number of others, you know, YouTube and things like that, right? And they control the internet. They basically control everything. Google's brain of the beast. In this article, it's called Google's Brain of the Beast. This is a picture of Google's room that controls all the web searches. Someone said, who visited there, he said, I visited there, and he said, this room is so big, you can see the curvature of the earth. So he was joking, you know, kind of tongue-in-cheek saying that. You know, this Google, how wonderful it is. I have email, I have my calendar, my documents, contacts. It controls everything. Yay, one-stop shop. So convenient. It's all so wonderful. It can take over my life. Kind of creepy. The intelligence community, Comprehensive National Cyberspace Initiative Data Center. Can you say that with me real fast? Okay, I'll spare you. You won't have to do that. This is that This is that facility that they were talking about a number of years back when they wanted to do these profiling of terrorists. They wanted to take metadata. They have the metadata already. They're already collecting this metadata. It's all going here. And everything you say, you write down, your receipts, what you purchase, it's all there. Okay, so the precise mission of this thing is classified. It's secret. Wow, but you know, they're good things. It can help us identify terrorists and prevent terrorism. James Bamford writes, the data center is alleged to be able to process all forms of communication, including the complete contents of private emails, cell phone calls, and internet searches, as well as all types of personal data trails, parking receipts, travel itineraries, bookstore purchases, and all other digital pocket litter. All that pocket litter, you runs through a checkout stand, you stuff it in your pocket, that's there. At least it's capable of storing up all of that. So this is something big. This something big is affecting us in a number of ways. First of all, in what you file. It affects you in what you file. We've gone paperless for a while now, right? I remember when we went from marriage licenses that were on paper, now it's all online. So all this person has to give me is this, if somebody's getting married, they give me this form, and it's all filled out and by the person who prepares this marriage license. I sit down with them, I fill out the rest of the information, I sign it, they sign it, and I keep it in my file. The State Department of Health doesn't even see it. I used to send it in, but I don't even send it in now. I go online, and I bring up their thing, and I click it, I fill it out, and I sign it, and it's done. And I keep the file, the hard copy file. Medical doctor records. How wonderful it is if you go to see a doctor, one kind of doctor, let's say a specialist, but they need to hear what kind of other kinds of treatments you've gotten. And now if you have your doctor records on a centralized database, they can access and know your health history rather than asking you all the same questions all over again. Wonderful! They can serve you better. All paperless. We even, as we interview new pastors, we have this thing called paperwork. You have to submit paperwork, and we have these forms, application to the ministry, testimony of salvation, what are your positions on these doctrines and things like that. And we say, do you have the paperwork on this candidate? And then we say, here it is, and we email it to them. There isn't a single piece of actual paper, but we call it paperwork. All this is done online. Something big is affecting what you file. Something big is affecting things that you like. Search engines, whenever you do Google, Yahoo, whatever search engine, it remembers what you're looking for, right? It logs it down, and it helps you to find these things in the future. How wonderful, how convenient. And not only that, they send your information to marketers who might be able to send you information on things you might be interested in. Yay! What a service! How wonderful that is! And so they know, well, this one person said not long ago, they said that the internet knows you better than you know you. I remember watching this one show and it says, we know exactly what this person is going to do. We know where they're going to drive, what store they're going to go to, what department they're going to go to, because that's what they do all the time. Yay! Creepy. Something big is affecting where you drive. How many of you watched iRobot? iRobot. Okay, a number of you. If you haven't watched it, you need to watch it. That's almost as good as this sermon. Almost, but not nearly as good, but almost. Okay, so where you drive. Google Maps is wonderful. I get stuck, and just the other day I was looking for somebody's house and I didn't know where it was. I thought I knew where it was and I couldn't remember where it was. I just put the address in, boom, it gave me the directions. All right, and it tells me where to go. Smart cars of the future, smart cars and self-driving cars are here. We already know that, right? They're not perfectly refined yet, but in February, I stayed at a home of a couple who owned a Tesla, and they told me all about this car, and I thought, wow, this is amazing. This Tesla is way, way ahead of other electric car vehicles, and they just thought of everything. You want to go where you want to go. They have all these charging stations. It's peppy. It's fast. It has the distance nowadays. Really low maintenance, and it knows exactly where you are at all times. You get into trouble, Tesla knows where you are. Yay! Okay. Tesla can even fix your car certain things remotely. Wow! Everybody say, wow! Such enthusiastic, wow. Okay. You get into trouble, they're on it. This Business Insider website had this headliner. And it said, Dutch police stopped a Tesla driver after he fell asleep while driving on autopilot. So what happened was, you can look this up, by the way. This car, it turned out to be a Tesla, was following too close to a car in front of it. So the policeman was trying to stop this car, this Tesla, and it was didn't stop. Turned on the sirens, turned on the lights, it didn't stop. So the driver pulled on the side, looked in the car, and the driver's sleeping. And he followed it. He tried turning on the siren, woo, 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 he didn't wake up. So finally he called in help. Another car came in and went in front of the Tesla and slowed down. And because the Tesla was on autopilot, the Tesla slowed down. And they were able to stop the vehicle that way. Turns out the guy was drunk. Turns out the guy was drunk. Wow, you know, if you're the designated driver, forget designated driver. You can get a Tesla, and all of you can get drunk and drive home by yourself. You know, wow, isn't that wonderful? It's not completely there yet, but the Tesla has millions of miles already tested under its belt. Elon Musk said that a truly self-driving car will be here next year, in 2020. Did you see that OnStar commercial? Going away from Tesla to OnStar. OnStar commercial is neat. They show this guy, policeman chasing a car, right? You see? And then this kid riding on a bike, and then their paths are intersecting like this. This police is chasing this car but the car has OnStar, and so the police is radioing to whatever controls this car. And he says, OnStar, slow down that car. And you see the car that the police car is chasing just gets slower and slower and slower, and it stops. It comes to a complete stop, and the kid on a bicycle rides across safe. Didn't even know that anything happened. Isn't that wonderful that somebody can stop your car? The government can stop your car and save a life. Now, with the momentum of going green, everything is going to go green. You and I both know smart cars and electric cars are here to stay. That's where everything is going to go. Your car can be tracked, controlled, and stopped remotely. Not only can you control your car, your government can control your car. So, this thing that's really big can also control what you say. We talk about, we have these cell phones, right? We have cell phones, we have now smart speakers. What can smart speakers do? Wow, you talk to the thing, Siri, you see the commercial, right? Alexa, order me a pizza, right? It orders a pizza, next thing you know, the guy's showing up at your door. You have alarm systems, smart alarm systems, smart doorbells. Isn't that wonderful? You can see that person from without even going to your door. You don't even have to be home. You can see that person if you're in another country. You can see that person. And so security cameras can help you see what your loved ones are doing, right? I know, because some of us have that. When you have someone who is handicapped, not doing well, you set up a monitor. Before, you had to be in another room, you could see what that person is doing. Now you can be anywhere in the world and see what that person is doing. A little while ago, we have this thing about, okay, when I'm away, the dogs play. And the dogs play in the house. And there are certain areas the dogs will not go when I'm home because I just do not allow it. Okay? But when I'm not home, guess what? When the cat's away, the mice play. So I saw this camera on sale, and it was a cheap camera. I think it's cheap anyway. It was like $35, and it was at Ross. I bought it. I thought, this is great to monitor my dogs. So I got it, and I set it up, and put it over there, and I checked it out. I looked at my phone. Oh, yeah. Oh, I can see the dogs. And I can talk to the dogs through my phone, right? And whatever they're saying, I can hear it too. Cool, isn't it? Isn't that good? The other day I thought I'd just go check it out. It was morning and I had been gone and I had left early. And then I saw our little dog, Noodle, and for some reason he was in the living room and he's not normally there. He's usually with Amy. So I thought, I wonder if Amy's in there. So I changed the angle of the camera. Oh, sure enough, Amy's over there. So I called Noodle's name. Noodle! The dog's looking around. And Amy comes. She looks. Then I told her, I'm using the camera. I'm talking to her through the camera, right? Isn't it wonderful I get to spy on my dog? All going into that thing and going into that big database. I talk to my daughter Rachel a lot about this when I take her to work and to and from work. And then she found this meme. A meme is a little like miniature poster, if you will, that's on the internet, and they put them on Facebook and things like that. So they have this one, and it talks about what we used to say in the 1960s. So this is what we used to say in the 1960s. I better not say that, or the government will wiretap my house. And then this is what we say now. Hey, wiretap, do you have a recipe for pancakes? So what do we really need to know about if this smart speaker can hear, can follow our instructions? That means it's hearing everything we say. It's listening. Did you hear what I just said? It's listening to everything you say. Every video is being recorded everywhere. And if it's going through the internet, guess where it's going? I showed you already. And if you have a language problem, no worries, because we can solve that. This thing called Muama Enense, whatever that is, Enense, it can translate more than 40 languages. Yay! When you travel, you can talk to somebody who speaks not your language, somebody else's language. Isn't that wonderful? And so language is no problem to who we can talk to or who can control us. Think this is not possible? Can't happen to us? I did some research on the Soviet Union. And within a matter of a number of like 7 years, all of these states agreed to socialism. And they joined together in what is called the Union of the Soviet Socialist Republic. Over time, under Joseph Stalin, no fewer than 15 million people were killed. People who oppose this system are going to be disposed of. However, maybe in concentration camps, labor camps, whatever it is. in China following a series of internal rebellions. It was instability in China. This is only in the 1940s now. The Communist Party of the People's Republic of China under Chairman Mao Zedong in just a matter of a few years became dominant in China. And over time, some estimates of 77 million people were disposed of because they didn't fall in line. I've heard guesstimates that were much, much higher. In China, they're going to be implementing in next year, in 2020, something called a social credit score. A social credit score has this headline. So dependent upon the technology now. Okay, so it has this headline. China has started ranking citizens with a creepy social credit system. Here's what you can do wrong and the embarrassing, demeaning ways they can punish you. The kinds of jobs, how you can travel, even where you can travel, kinds of schools, internet access speed, take away your dog, publicly post your score for everybody to see. This is happening now. And someone said the goal for this is worldwide. Keep your antennas up, folks. Marxism, communism, socialism is implicitly, philosophically anti-God. If you study Marxism, Marx said that religion is the opium of the people. Marx said the highest thing is society, is social work, is society. And you have time for God only if you need to. And let's just find out, just look, how free are Christians to worship God in China and Soviet Union? Just ask that question. And how long did it take for that whole thing to switch over? Not very long. Mark of the beast is man's number. It is anti-God. It is man-made. It is man-centered. Now, here's the good news. I got to finish with good news, right? The book of Revelation does not finish in Revelation 13. Praise the Lord. It finishes in Revelation 22. And Revelation 19 and 20 speak about the demise of the beast. The dragon, the beast, the false prophet, and are going to be captured and they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. The dragon is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. And those who suffered with Jesus are going to reign with Jesus. And in the end, Jesus wins. This is why we hope we do not have to pay the ultimate price. But if we did, we need to be willing to pay that ultimate price. Because Jesus wins. We have seen the end and he wins. So what do? In the motorcycle safety class, they teach you all these rules and things about riding your motorcycle. They say, assume that the people are not going to see you. And they say that whenever you're driving on the freeway or on a surface street, a neighborhood street, always be watching for your escape route. If somebody were to come out now, where would I go? If I'm riding on the freeway, if that car were to encroach into me, where would I go? And you have to have that mapped out in your head beforehand. So here's what you need to think about. You need to think about, what are you going to do? It really shouldn't say, don't take the mark of the beast. Because that assumes the number is going to be easy to find. It's not going to be. Rather, we should know the warnings that God gives us in the Bible. We need to pray for some avenue of escape. And I encourage you to do this as the band comes up. I encourage you to talk about this during lunch. This is kind of like your application. Talk about this during lunch. There was a time when somebody who would bring up worries about this, the government taking over and all of the knowing everything you know, we would have thought that they were kind of crazy. Not anymore. This is real. And all of this stuff, you know this is real. And so we need to be aware of this stuff. Talk with each other over lunch. Ask one another, how can we be aware and prepared for this? And if you're unsure of your destiny, if you're going to be with Jesus, I want to lead you in a prayer to receive Jesus today, because Jesus, in the end, wins. Let's go to him in prayer. Lord, though all of these things are really scary, Lord, we recognize that they're merely warnings. Warnings you have given us out of love for us, because you want us to know. You do not want us to be ignorant of the times. You do not want us to be ignorant of the enemy's schemes. Lord, I pray for those who have not yet trusted Jesus Christ or not yet at the place of trusting him fully, that you would further ground their faith so deeply, Lord, that when opposition like this comes, that they would say, I'm going to choose Jesus no matter what. And if you want to choose Jesus today, I'm going to lead you in this prayer. You just pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I have sinned. I need you. And I confess, Lord, that I trust in you. My trust is in you. My trust is in no earthly or man-made scheme, but in your work on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. I trust in you no matter what now. I place my faith in you. Forgive me of my sins and help me to be a follower of you no matter what. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.